Imagine this. Imagine you were gathered among the disciples, and there before you is a resurrected Jesus. Each time you look at him, you want to pinch yourself. Can this be real? You wonder as you gaze again at his pierced hands and feet. You scrape your own feet against a dusty floor to ground yourself in what you know to be real. You press your thumb into the hollow of your palm, which is calloused from handling fishing nets, but it is not scarred. You take a deep breath in and out, appreciating the fullness of air and noting you do not feel the limits of pierced ribs, nor of the weight of your body pulling against desperate lungs. See, you had seen Jesus endure these things, and yet here he is again, right in front of you. How can this be? Then he goes about doing the things he did so well, breaking bread, looking at you like he could really see you, and teaching. Right now he's teaching about the scriptures, the law of Moses, the prophets, the Psalms. You wait for one of his parables that will help yet another confusing passage become clear to you. But this time, it's not just one passage he brings to life. It's like he's turned a light on and opened your mind, and suddenly, all the words, the stories, the poetry, the prayers, they resonate with deep meaning to you. You feel a calling to become one of the voices in this story as it continues to unfold. You look around at the other disciples, and you see the awe on their faces too, and you realize that their minds have also been opened. You look again at Jesus. All at once, you understand his words. You know that you are bound to him in a way you have never known before. You follow him to Bethany, taking the gentle slope down the Mount of Olives on the road to Jericho. You reach a grove of palm trees just 100 yards from the home of Lazarus and Mary and Martha, who you see running out to join you so that they can behold their dear friend. Lazarus was once dead too, like Jesus. Yet Jesus had called him back to life. And here you all are, wondering what all this will mean for your future, how it will shape your lives. But something's happening. Jesus is lifting his hands. He's saying words of blessing. You let them wash over you as you feel their power filling you. As Jesus blesses you, his body begins to rise. He's not bound to this earth. The sky swallows him as if the heavens are birthing him into another existence that you cannot see. You take note of how you're feeling, and as you scan your body, you expect to feel once again the things you felt when you watched his crucifixion. Fear, anger, deep sadness, confusion, doubt, guilt. But as you take note of what your mind and body and spirit are experiencing, You notice that you feel none of these. Not now. You feel something else. Joy. Your lips start to spread as your mouth declares words of praise. Tears stream from your eyes and fall into your smiling mouth as you join one another in worshiping Jesus. He is no longer with you, but what he has blessed you with makes you feel more bound to him than you had ever felt when he was among you. Now, some time has passed since that holy day, quite some time, and oh, what changes have come since then. You have followed enthusiastically as Jesus had commissioned you, preaching repentance and forgiveness of sins to all nations, starting with Jerusalem. The most incredible conversion you have seen is with Paul, with whom you now travel. Known once as Saul, he used to terrify you. But the scales had literally fallen off of his eyes, and now you look to him to help spread the word and baptize others in Jesus' name. Today, however, you are all tired, burdened, and you find some of those old emotions creeping in, especially fear, especially anger, as you feel Rome's power closing in on you. And here comes a young slave. She keeps shouting out, "These men are the slaves of the Most High God who proclaim in you a way of salvation." Paul, starting to get annoyed by her. It's not that she doesn't speak. Paul has taken away their cash cow. If Paul was trying to silence her so that your evangelism would somehow stay under the Roman radar, he has grossly failed. You wonder what will happen to that poor girl as you watch her bare feet shuffle along, bound by chains. You pray that she may live to know freedom from her captors. Look, now our owners have brought in a soldier and they are coming for you with whips and chains. Now your feet are bound in chains, and as you shuffle your feet against a dusty floor, you understand just a little more what this slave girl lives under. Your side and your back sting, a physical reminder to what Jesus experienced the day they crucified him. Your heart is racing, and you feel fear start to occupy your mind again. How will this end? You wish and even pray that God will call you up into the sky and unbind you from all that is in this earth, the unrighteous rulers, the violence you witness every day, the disrespect for human dignity. You realize that your prayers are no longer silent. Your mouth is speaking them out loud, and yours are not the only ones. The women and men held captive with you are praying too. You stop and listen to their words for a moment and allow their words to carry you. You feel a sense of peace return to you. You know you are not in this alone. You start to hum a hymn beneath your friend's prayers. One by one, they begin to join you until you are all singing loudly hymns of praise. Your fear begins to leave your face, and your mouth begins to spread wide into a smile. There it is again. That whole body sensation you felt when Jesus ascended. You reach into your mind and draw upon the scriptures, which are now grafted into you. You realize that no chains can bind you. No authority can own you. You belong to none other than the Most High God. This realization causes your heart to fill with overflowing All of a sudden, there's a clatter. The ground is shaken, and the chains have fallen from your wrists and feet. One by one, each prisoner becomes unbound by their chains. Not only that, but the doors to your jail cells creak open. In the light of the lantern outside your dark cell, you see the jailer with his sword. He is very distressed. The fear that had just recently marked your face is now threaded onto his. Knowing how bad the Roman authorities treat those who are outside the system, you know the punishment for this man will be cruel once they find you have been freed under his watch. It occurs to you that he is preparing to use his sword on himself. Wait! Paul cries out with urgency. Do not harm yourself. We're still here. The jailer brings his lantern into your cell. He falls on his knees as he witnesses what miracle has just happened. He's trembling, but now not with fear, but with joy. What must I do to be saved? He asks. You start to share with him the secrets to being bound not to fear, bound not to Rome, but bound to the Most High God you know in Jesus Christ. It's odd. This man who is ready to take his life over your freedom is now just walking out with you, plain as day. There is no fear in his step. Even as you pass Roman soldiers, you go to his house and continue telling him and his family the good news of the gospel. He then brings you to the river, and with tender care, this jailer washes your wounds. Now me, he says. And so you lead him deeper into the water, into the river, and holding his back and his head, you dip him under the water. Between you and Paul, you baptize him, his daughters, his wife, his parents. He leads you back into his house. There is bread. He breaks it. There is wine. His wife pours it. A feast is prepared. You scrape your feet against the dusty floor, this time to ground you, because right now you feel so free, so joyful, that you just might float away. But you know there is a reason to be here, now, bound to these people.